Thank you, Don. Good morning, Crossview. We are excited today because one of our values of a church is to be a church on mission. That's what we value. We want to get outside these doors and impact not just our local area, but the world as well. And one of our partners that helps us do that is Compassion International. You just saw a video about what they do. Through child sponsorship, they provide healthcare, education, spiritual care for that child, but it also impacts that child's entire family. And it truly is an honor for us to partner with Compassion. We have kind of a unique setup. We as a church actually sponsor a Compassion Center in Bolivia. A lot of churches don't have that option. People just have kids sponsored all over. But we have a partnership, so with Compassion, it's tied to the local church, but then every Compassion site has a center where the kids receive their care. And so it's a great thing that we're involved with. We had a team that Don, who you just heard read scripture, was on, that went to our site in Cochabamba, Bolivia. And they're going to be sharing today and about the trip and about what happened. And so I'd like to invite up Lynn and Rachel and Don and Pam and Ann to come forward. And you're going to hear about what happened on their trip in Compassion International.
Compassion International begins, their story starts in 1952. An evangelist named Everett Swanson flew from Chicago to South Korea to speak and sing to the American troops. Everett was walking down the street when a boy snatched his coat and ran. Everett rounded the corner. He saw his coat lying in a doorway. He picked it up, and under it was a frightened little boy, teeth chattering, and other children huddled with him. Everett went to a restaurant and brought back soup for the orphaned children. That night he prayed and couldn't sleep. Before dawn the next morning, he saw cleaning workers picking up rags and throwing them into a truck. He curiously walked up to the truck to take a closer look and was completely terrified when he saw that the heaps were not just rags, they were frozen little bodies. These children had died in the night. Over the next few days, Everett came in contact with hundreds of abandoned orphans who had lost their parents in the war and now lived on the street. Swanson returned to the United States, and people started to give him donations to help the people who needed it the most. This was the start of a unique program that enabled people in the West to provide those Korean children with food, clothing, lodging, Bible teaching, and medical assistance. Today it's called Compassion International, which is in 29 countries and helping over 2.4 million sponsored children, releasing them from poverty. Often poverty affects children the most. Poverty isn't always a lack of ability for children, but a lack of opportunity. Compassion works through about 10,000 churches worldwide with roots in the community. Each church is a neighborhood church. The local church understands its community the best. They coordinate with Compassion International to have a director, staff of tutors, and curriculum. And there is detailed accountability for each sponsored child. Compassion International is Christ-centered, church-driven, and child-focused to help children thrive, not just survive.
Going to Bolivia to meet the children we sponsor was a mountaintop experience for all of us. But you don't have to travel to a foreign country to meet them in order to make a difference in their lives. Your support and letters can do that. In fact, we discovered that many of the children have saved their letters sent to them. In addition, we learned while there that only 3% of sponsored children will ever meet their sponsor. Compassion's holistic approach is a valuable part of sponsorship. Their involvement at the local church helps sponsored children have a good education, Christ-centered spiritual guidance, and to know they are loved and have worth. It also provides access to basic health care, disease prevention, nutritional needs, and regular checkups. The tutors on staff help the children find hope in Jesus and to learn that they are loved and valued by Him. The children we met at both churches were friendly, happy, welcoming, and well-mannered. While there, we had a surprise evening to meet the 32 children sponsored by our group of 15 from both Woodlands and Crossview. The evening was 2 hours of loving and sharing with help from our amazing translators. The joy, the children, their parents, the tutors, and the sponsors felt surpasses explanation. We also had a play day at an inside park. The bonding that day was incredible. You can easily play games like air hockey, ping pong, basketball, etc., without speaking the same language. Another highlight was a wonderful welcome at the Jehovah Jireh Church. Their congregation lined the road up to the church. As they were all singing, the children came out and gave us roses and hugs. We also had meaningful home visits, which helped us meet the families and see their love and faith, yet we witnessed some of the struggles poverty creates for them. While in Bolivia, we learned the uniqueness of this Christ-centered ministry. The parents benefit and feel well-loved, too, as a result of sponsorship. The tutors are compelled to help these children. They're like another set of parents for them. Anna, a tutor of one of our children, shared with us that she was a Compassion Child herself and is committed to helping these kids improve their lives and develop their dreams and their love for the Lord. Sponsorship empowers these children to leave poverty behind. It helps their families in the same way. We are confident that these children can reach many of their goals as a result of being sponsored. I'd like to add one thing. None of them smile in the pictures out there. But when you're with them, they're all smiles.
In the goodbyes to the families, the mothers hugged Rachel and said, "Rachel, you are like a mother to me." The sincerity of their tears said, "I am grateful that as a Christian, you have come alongside us to love and care for our children too." That evening, I was thinking through the services that Compassion provides and the emotion shown by the mothers. It reminded me of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul writes of how righteous it is to care for the poor. And the last four verses of the chapter say, "This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift."
Well, as Pastor Dan mentioned, global outreach is a huge emphasis in this church. If you've been going any length of time, you know that we stay in touch with our global partners. We know the needs that they have, and we make a concerted effort each week to pray for our outreach partners. Some of them we've been fortunate enough to see. They come here, and we were able to see them. But some of our mission partners are overseas and can't come. Iglesia Evangelica Missionary is actually one of the very first global partners that Crossview Church partnered with. And what I wanted to do today is to just give you a little bit of the history of the church project to let you know how it came to be. This particular church project was actually formed because Cochabamba, Bolivia, a town of about a million people nestled into the Andes Mountains, is a town like any other town. They needed to have a place to put their refuse. And so they actually built a landfill, and they put it halfway up the mountain. And they told the people of Cochabamba that they could have free land if they wanted to live near the dump. And so the people with little or no means, this was a way that they could finally have a home of their own with the free land, and so they moved up into this area. Now the people needed to have a way of livelihood, and so what they actually did was they used the grain that was in this area to put together an elixir that is more potent than beer. It was a great way to make a livelihood, but a terrible way to have family dynamics. And the area was going downhill morally while they were able to exist. And so what ended up happening is, and I don't know if you want, there's a picture of the church. Okay, so this lady here knew that the only way that things were going to turn around in this area from a spiritual standpoint was to start a church. And so Mariana here, age 93, and just as a sidelight, last year her and her husband renewed their marriage vows. Amazing lady. She started this church, and together with the people who started the church, they made a decision that they were going to name the church Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh is from Genesis 22, the account of when Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, and God provided the lamb. And so Jehovah Jireh is the name of this church, and God has provided for this church in an amazing way. This church started to grow, and it made an impact on the community. Families came to Christ. They were able to get out of their subsistence ways of producing alcohol and found other ways. This particular church partnered with Compassion, and the church grew further. Kids started coming to this church, and they actually outgrew the church. They had to build a new facility because it grew so much. In fact, we'll turn to the next picture. Is they brought on this gal named Juana, a great visionary, who said that one, we need to expand the project to bring on more children. And so they brought on more children and outgrew it. And she had the vision to start a second church farther up the mountain, which they've already outgrown that as well. And they've got some grand plans for that. But the church project now has over 500 children in it. I mean, just think of how many kids we have go through here. Think of 500 people, 500 children in their church project, and it's an amazing thing. Some of you will notice that she's holding a sign there that says, "Love God, love others, serve the world." When the last Compassion group team went down there in 2018, they presented this framed picture to the church, and it's had a huge impact on the church. This was the mission statement that we had here at Crossview when we first got started, and it is impacting people. In fact, the next picture is a picture of a gal who saw that signed, love God, love others, serve the world, and she made it her life's calling to reach people for Christ. Lilith, in our little bus that we drove back and forth everywhere each day, was a sponsored child. Quite possibly one of you sponsored her growing up, and now she is on staff with Compassion, and she actually is involved with 9 different Compassion sites throughout the country of Bolivia. Danny, the other person in that picture, is actually the director of Bolivia Compassion, but Lilith is an example of a gal who got out of poverty through sponsorship with Compassion and is now making a huge impact for the kingdom. As I was thinking about what I want to share here today, and I was reading, one thing came across to me. All 4 gospel writers describe Jesus in one way as Jesus was ministering to people, doing miracles and healing and preaching. Before Jesus did anything, the author or the writers of the gospels would say, Jesus was filled with compassion for the people. And I believe that for the follower of Christ, that is a apt name for this organization, Compassion, and we have an opportunity to also have compassion on these young people. Currently, Crossview sponsors 102 people in this particular project. We have 108 cards out in the foyer, and we have the opportunity to double the impact that we have at the Compassion site in Bolivia. The team that's here was very impressed with the church project that was there. We were very impressed with Compassion, but we were really impressed with the children. And Rachel mentioned this a little bit in their demeanor, but you can just see the difference that sponsoring people have with these young people, with these young children. It is an investment that is it's a great investment. So what we really are encouraging people today to do is to join in with what God is doing in a place where the gospel is being shared and lives are being changed. Ask Pastor Dan to come up. And while Pastor Dan's coming up, I just want to let you know that we did give them a gift when we went there. We actually gave them a picture of our church, the front of our church. And so they now have a picture of the front of our church, which they greatly loved to be able to put a picture with our church. And they actually gave us a framed picture as well. And Ann's going to give that to Pastor Dan. This is some of the 500 children that are going to the Jehovah Jireh project at this point. So,
thank you, Tom. Let's give this team a hand for going there. Thank you. Excellent. What amazing partnership we have with Compassion, and perhaps you will get a chance to go on a trip there as well someday, and it would be a wonderful thing. I've talked to several people who have taken that trip, who've gone seen the site in Cochabamba, Bolivia, and I remember one individual was telling me all about it, very excited, and I asked them the question that I ask all the people that I bump into that go on short-term mission trips. I said, what did you learn that impacted you the most? And she said, the fact that we can have joy in being involved in something bigger than ourselves. That joy comes by being involved in something bigger than ourselves. I think God places in the hearts of all of his followers a desire to be involved in something bigger than ourselves. And when we do, we experience joy. And that thing that is bigger than ourselves is called the kingdom of God. And in the text that we looked at this morning that Don read for us, Jesus was talking about the kingdom of God. And the reason he was talking about the kingdom of God is he was explaining it to people because there's a lot of confusion around the phrase kingdom of God. And guess what? That confusion around that phrase exists today as well. And so I want us to take a look at what Jesus said and pull out some things that help us clarify what is the kingdom of God. So if you have a Bible, I encourage you to open up to Matthew 13. And we're going to be looking at 31 to 33. Jesus gives us an incredible invitation to be a part of something bigger than ourselves, to be a part of the kingdom of God. And just as we saw that young lady in the bus see that mission statement and decide she wants to become part of something bigger than herself, God does that with all of us. Matthew 13, 31 to 33, Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of God, and he says this: the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it's the smallest of seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus gives us these pictures of the kingdom of God in parables so that people would understand, because there was a lot of confusion in that day about what the kingdom of God meant. Jesus, as a rabbi, taught about the kingdom of God in ways no one else did. Other rabbis, when they talked about the kingdom of God, often had a political edge to it, because the people of Israel at the time were oppressed by the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire held them in captivity, oppressed them, and in their mind, the kingdom of God meant freedom from Roman Empire oppression. And when the rabbis taught that, that's what they would say. But Jesus was talking about something much bigger than that. Jesus was saying that vision is too small. The kingdom of God is so much bigger than that. And I want us to look at three quick principles of what the kingdom of God is all about. First of all, I want you to think that the kingdom is not a place yet. It's bigger than that. You see, when we hear the word kingdom, we often think of like a castle or like a plot of land or an area or a city that a king is in charge of or a queen is in charge of. Kingdom to us is often a geographic place. And though that's going to be the case when Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom in a place called the new heavens and new earth, when you hear the word kingdom of God today, I don't want you to think about geographic place. When you hear the word kingdom, the phrase kingdom of God, I want you to think of something else. What I want you to think of when you hear the phrase kingdom of God is I want you to picture Jesus extending his hand to someone who's suffering with disease, and then they become healed. When you hear the phrase kingdom of God, I want you to picture Jesus placing his hand on a corpse and having that person come back to life. When you picture and hear the phrase kingdom of God, I want you to picture Jesus coming alongside those who mourn and grieve and have been go through something very difficult in this life, and he brings them hope and comfort in the midst of the pain. When you hear the word kingdom of God, I want you to picture Jesus setting people free from addiction and oppression. You see, kingdom is not a geographic place yet. Kingdom is the actions of God himself taking place in the world we live in. It's the kingdom of coming to this area and seeing God work amongst people in their lives that have been affected by this fallen world. It's action. It's not a geographic place. And the cool thing is, we as followers of Jesus Christ can be involved in the kingdom and in very, very simple ways. For an example, there was two sophomores in high school. One was named Tyler, another was named Joshua. And they were on the junior varsity football team. And at the end of each practice, the coach would have the whole team run a half mile. Then they would come to the center of the field and they'd have to do a series of calisthenics, sit-ups, push-ups, and other exercises. And then the coach said, whoever finishes last has to run another half mile. So there was this young man on the team named Tyler, and Tyler was always the last one. Tyler wasn't very fast, he wasn't very coordinated, and he was always the last one done, so he would always have to take the extra half mile lap. And it got to the point where the rest of the team would often poke fun at him. They called the last lap the Tyler lap, because Tyler was always the last one to take this lap. Well, there was another player on the team named Joshua, and Josh was a follower of Jesus Christ. And as Josh was exercising, he saw how everyone treated Tyler, and he felt bad about it. And he sensed God was telling him to do something about it. So while they were running their first half mile, Joshua decides, I'm going to be the last one this time. And he drops back his pace, not enough to have people notice, but enough to have it reality, that he came in from the first half mile behind Tyler. He kept his eye on Tyler, and he wanted to make sure that Tyler beat him. And then we came into the center, and they started their calisthenics, and he purposely slowed down his pace so that he could finish last. And then he finished last, and he took the half mile that day so Tyler didn't have to do it. His dad watched him do this because his dad came to pick him up for practice, and he's watching his son do this half mile lap that he normally doesn't do. And then he waited, and Josh came and hops in the car. And his dad said, what's going on? You doing all right? He said, yeah, I was just a little tired. He didn't want to make a big deal of it. But he wanted to impact the life of another. You see, that's something that simple can foster the kingdom of God in the here and now. What would God call you to do? How could you inconveniently love another person to express the kingdom of God where you are? A second principle about the kingdom of God is that God invites us to participate in his kingdom. God can establish and complete his kingdom all on his own. He doesn't need our help, but he invites his church to dispense the kingdom of God wherever they go, in their neighborhoods, in their families, in their homes, in their workplaces. God calls us to be carriers of the kingdom and dispense the kingdom of God where he takes us. A third principle about the kingdom of God is the kingdom of God starts small, it grows large, and it's impossible to stop. The kingdom of God starts small, grows large, and is impossible to stop. When we as followers of Jesus enter into our homes, our neighborhoods, our workplaces, and we go to that on mission for the kingdom of God, having that in our head, it changes how we live. It changes how we operate. And by doing simple things like holding a door open or buying someone coffee or just truly listening in a conversation or just being kind, or when an argument comes up about a hot button issue, to think about the people involved above the issue and treat them as those who have been made in the image of God with respect and kindness and love. People take notice. They take notice of that. People notice what Joshua did in that football practice. And they asked him about it. And now Joshua had an opportunity to talk to them about his relationship with Jesus Christ and invite them to church. You see, once you start just with the small act of kindness, God comes along and empowers that and can have it grow. And the kingdom of God will never, ever, ever stop. God calls us to live Jesus' ways among the places he puts us. And one of the reasons we at Crossview Church partner with Compassion International is because child sponsorship is an amazing way to be involved in the kingdom of God all over the world. It's an amazing way to do that. They provide, as we said, a total change that releases children from poverty in Jesus' name. What a mission statement. Through child sponsorship, children receive education, food, healthcare, and a chance to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and have their lives changed for eternity. And think about it, as you sponsor a child, you get to deliver that kingdom of God package to not just that child, but that family and that area and that part of the world. You get to live for something bigger than yourself. So I want us all to consider child sponsorship. If you've come to Crossview for a while, you know that we don't do this every week. This is something that we do once every 2 or 3 years because we have a partnership with Compassion, and we get a lot of you here already sponsor kids. That's awesome. We thank you for your sponsorship. You're making a huge difference. But we also know as we get new people in the church that maybe they haven't had an opportunity to sponsor someone through Compassion, and we wanted to give that opportunity. The cool thing about today is if you pick up a packet and become a child sponsor today, that all the children that are here at Crossview Church are at the center that we partner with in Bolivia. So that means there's a chance if you do take a trip like those who were up here before, you can meet your Compassion child, which would be an amazing thing. So I want to give you three words that describe child partnership and sponsorship, and then we'll close. First one, what does it mean to be a sponsor? First, you have to give. Being a sponsor costs $43 a month, and it provides all that for one child. And it doesn't just impact that child, it impacts their whole family. Now, for some of you, $43 is out of the question right now, and that's okay. For some of you, it's a doable hard. You could do it, but it's going to require some sacrifice. What better way to expand the kingdom of God? And for some of you, you can easily do that. And so think about being a child sponsorship. It involves giving $43 a month. The second thing it involves is writing. Writing is a huge part of sponsorship. Pam and I sponsor a girl named Maria we've had for the last 11 years. And Compassion has such an easy way to write. They have this app that makes it so simple. And then you get a letter back and you start to communicate and you can watch your child grow. We've watched Maria grow in her faith by the way she asks questions and the way she talks as the time goes by. And finally, the third word about being a sponsor is stay. When you think of child sponsorship, I want you to think long-term commitment. because we don't want to take one of these children out here, sign up, and then a couple months later say, no, I don't want to do that anymore. I can't do that. So give it some thought and give it some prayer and think it through. Child sponsorship, three words: give, write, and stay. Stay the course. We're watching it happen, and it's just a great, great thing. We talk a lot about making gospel ripples around the world at Crossview Church. There's no better way to have a global impact than partnering with Compassion International as a child sponsor. So if that's something you want to do, that we have some people out in the foyer. There's some child packets that are on these banners out there that you can take. I really encourage you, if you are going to do it, to take the packet and have someone out there help you with it so you do it correctly. And please don't take any of the packets home without having somebody here go through it. Because what can happen if it's not filled out correctly, you could take that packet home, set it on your shelf, and forget about it. And that child is out of the queue to get a sponsor. And so they lose opportunities in the future. So please, if you are interested and you want to do it, sign up, but have someone out there help you so you can make sure it all goes through correctly. With that, I encourage you to pray about expanding the kingdom of God through child sponsorship. And if you can't do that, we're not off the hook. God still calls us to expand the kingdom of God wherever he's put us. And so I want to encourage you this week, think about ways that you could inconveniently love somebody by spreading the kingdom of God. Maybe it's buying somebody a coffee. Maybe it's sitting and listening to somebody. Maybe it's bringing somebody a meal. Maybe it's just writing a note and praying for somebody every day this week and then write them a card and tell them you've been praying for them. I don't know what it is, but I encourage you this week, do something that's an inconvenience to you that spreads the kingdom of God and the love of Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the invitation you give us to be a part of your kingdom. Lord, as we look at this world, it's very, very clear. The only hope we have is your kingdom. The only hope we have is if you move, because when you move, it's unstoppable. And so, God, I ask that you continue to help us as your church, as your people, live out this kingdom wherever you've placed us. Let it start in our homes. Let it go to our neighborhoods. Let it go to our workplaces and community groups. And let it go beyond this geographical area to the outermost parts of the world, perhaps through partnering with Compassion. God, we ask that you'd give us wisdom on how to spread your kingdom, and you'd help us see ourselves this week as kingdom ambassadors, bringing what is in heaven to earth by our words and our actions. And so, God, empower us to do that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.